Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today's the end of my first week talking about financial stewardship. And this is going to be a series that I'll be on for a number of weeks talking about a Christian perspective on managing money and how God wants us to prosper. And actually, I've spent quite a bit of my time this week basically defending teaching on this because there's so much prejudice. There is some vicious hatred. I wouldn't even tell you some of the things that I've read about me and people saying things about me and calling it a health wealth preacher, which, you know, I'm not against wealth or health. Amen. That's better than being a sickness poverty preacher. But I've had so many things said about me, and it's not that I'm concerned about myself personally. It's just that I don't want people who have a prejudice in this area to reject the teaching before they even hear it. And there are some people that honestly have been so prejudiced. They wouldn't use that word, but that's what it is. They are so prejudiced. They have a chip on their shoulder that they won't even listen to you talk about finances, especially a preacher, because they just assume that you're doing this so that you can put your hand in their pocket and take from them. I'm not trying to take from you. I'm trying to give to you. It's very similar to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, where Elijah, the man of God, was told by God to go to Zarephath, a city that was outside of the nation of Israel, and that there was a widow woman there that God had already commanded to sustain him. And so he went there, and when he found this widow woman, the first thing he did was to say, "Go get me some water." And this was during a drought. Water was a precious commodity, and yet this woman went and started to get him some water, but then he increased it by saying, "And also bring me something to eat." And she turned around and she says, "As the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything left but just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And I was gathering these sticks so I could make a fire and use this last bit of flour and oil so that I could cook a cake for my son and I, and that we could eat it and die." In other words, she was down to her very last meal. And Elijah said, "You go make first for me, and then go make for yourself, because here's the word of the Lord. The cruse will not fail of oil, nor the meal be diminished until the time that the Lord sends rain on this earth." And this woman believed him and went and did, and the meal multiplied. And for 3 years, this little tiny bit of meal and little tiny bit of oil that was only enough for one cake sustained Elijah, this woman, and her son for 3 years. And see, some people, all they do is look at the portion right here where the man of God says, "Give to me first." And they think, "This guy is taking from her." Elijah wasn't taking from her. He was giving to her. He was helping her. If he hadn't have done this, if he hadn't have been bold and said, "Give to me first," and if he hadn't have done something to get this woman operating in faith and out of the fear and the defeat that she was speaking, then she and her son would have died. He wasn't taking from her. He was giving to her. He was helping her. And yet I can guarantee you, if you would have been reading the Jerusalem Post back in those days, they would have said, "Man of God takes widow's last meal." And they would have stopped right there, and they wouldn't have told you that by her taking that step of faith and giving first, that it caused her to prosper. And not only was her needs met for 3 years financially or physically so that she was able to keep eating, but if you continue on with that story, her son was raised from the dead because this man of God lived in their home. And so this miracle, her giving, was the way to her miracle. And yet it's amazing how there is such a prejudice against this and people just focus on the negative. You know, I actually went to a church in Decatur, Texas, River of Life Church. I think it's called the River Church now. Greg Moore was the pastor then. And I ministered on those exact passages of Scripture from 1 Kings chapter 17. And there was a woman who came up at the end of the service and wanted prayer. She needed a financial miracle. And she says, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "No, I didn't remember." But the year before when I was there, she had been in a mental institution and they just let her out for the weekend. And she came and asked for prayer that God would restore her mind. I prayed over her. She had been totally healed, set free, and she was released from the mental institution. But she had a job at that mental institution. She was the custodian, and they gave her a place to live. So she was still living there, but not as a patient. She was now a worker, and she just wanted to be free from it. She wanted to get away from that place. And so she came and said she needed a financial miracle. She needed a new job and a new place to live. And I had just preached on Elijah saying, "Give to me first." And it's not that he was taking from that woman. He was giving to her. He gave her much more than she ever gave him. Her son was raised from the dead. And I was trying to put this all into perspective. I had just preached on that. And so I told this woman, I said, "What do you have? You need to give." And this woman, she had just heard this message, so she understood. She went and got her purse. She had a little coin purse, and she emptied it into my hands. And it was something, I forget the exact amount, but it was like $87.23, something like that. And I said, "Give it to me." And she said, "All of it." And I said, "All of it." And she gave me every penny that she had. And she says, "I haven't bought groceries yet." And she says, "This is all the money I get until my next paycheck," which was 10 days or 2 weeks away or something. And I took all of this money and I gave it to the pastor of the church. I didn't take it for myself, lest somebody think that I was after this woman's money. And then I prayed for her. And you know, there's many people that right now, you just are incensed, like, "You're taken from this woman." And see, I'm saying that that's a prejudice, because here's the rest of the story. That the pastor of that church, Greg Moore, called me the next week. And he said, "Andrew, you know what happened to that woman? On Monday, somebody gave her a new car." I don't think it was like brand new, but it was a new car to her. It was a good car. And it was somebody who did not go to church there. It was somebody who didn't know that she had a need and that we were praying for her. It was just a supernatural provision. She got a car on Monday that she didn't pray for. I think it was either Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, her mother called her, which her mother had totally broken off relationship with her when she went into this mental institution, was embarrassed over her. And so there was a relationship broken. And she called her daughter just out of the blue, found out that she was no longer a patient, that she had been declared completely free. The mother humbled herself, asked forgiveness for the way she had treated her, and the relationship was restored, and the mother asked her daughter to move back home. So that was half of her request. She got a new place to live, plus a relationship with her parents restored. And by the end of the week, she had a job paying twice as much money as she was making as the custodian in that mental health facility. And see, some people, they just, all they do is think, "Yeah, you took this woman's money." What I did was cause this woman to take a step of faith and start believing God, and not just do it in word only, but demonstrate it with some physical action. And when she did that, man, the miracle power of God flowed. Man, that's powerful. But see, people, again, there's so much prejudice against this. They would criticize Elijah. They would criticize me. And all I'm doing is trying to help you to recognize that God wants you to prosper. God wants to bless you. You know, today I'd like to play just a few little clips. It's only a couple of minutes long, about some of the people right here in our ministry who just briefly shared with our television department some of the miracles that they've experienced. So I want you to watch this. It's only a couple of minutes long, and then I'll come back and I'll continue the gospel truth.
I'd come to a custom to ask the Lord, you know, how much should I give? And at that point, I just really felt the Lord tell me, and it was a real big amount, a real uncomfortable amount, an amount that, you know, if the Lord wasn't true and His promises weren't true, it would have got me in trouble. So I really felt moved to give this amount, and I gave that amount, and I wasn't paying for my daughter's healing. I wasn't bargaining with God or anything, but I think that moved my heart. It put me in an area of faith.
I was sitting on the aisle in the meeting room, and I just noticed that a guy a couple of rows ahead of me had his billfold was sticking out of his back pocket, and I could see the edges of bills in his wallet. And I kind of complained to God at that point. And I said, "You know, it's just like you. You just get everything out of me and I've got nothing left. And here's this guy and he's still got cash in his wallet." And I heard on the inside of me God say, that guy's wallet won't contain the return you have coming on what you just gave.
We were living paycheck to paycheck at the time. We didn't have a lot of money, and we were not managing the money that we had well. But on this particular Sunday, we had a total of $10, and that $10 really was to last us all week. But we felt a real strong compulsion to give that day. So we decided we would give half of the money that we had. We put $5 in the offering plate, and then we typically went and had lunch on Sundays together, and so we decided we'd take the other $5 and go have lunch. So we did that, and as we walked out of the restaurant, there was a $20 bill laying on the ground. And as we picked that up and went to the car, we just knew that God was teaching us immediately about the power of giving to Him and His kingdom.
So as I'm handing the check over, I'm like, here's what we got. So it was a little nerve-wracking, but I handed it over, and once I handed it over, I was done with it. Like, I didn't think much about it. And then 2 weeks later, after not getting one phone call, Fred's business just exploded.
I started speaking to my debt, you know, financially. My mortgage payment went down $700 a month. My car payment went down $200, and they just notified me, we're doing this for you.
So as I'm vacuuming, the Lord says to me, well, I have already provided for you, remember? That provision's already in your house. It's in your hand. I'm like, wow, that's awesome, Lord. So I phoned up Ashley, and I'm like, Ashley, guess what? The Lord's provided for us. It's already in our house. And he's like, great, that's wonderful. We still need the money, though. You know, not when we work lack of faith or anything. But I just had this real peace that I could trust in the Word of God. So I carried on vacuuming, and as I got into the hallway, I hit the baseboard with the vacuum cleaner, and out from the inside of the wall cavity came this piece of paper, and I picked it up, and it was a check for 2 months' rent. And it had been there for, like, since we moved into the house. It was provided for us ahead of time. Like, that is just so God.
Isn't that powerful? I tell you what, God wants to bless you. He doesn't want to just have a spiritual thing that He does and He touches you emotionally or something. God's concerned about every part of your life. He wants you to prosper. You know, I do need to give a little bit of explanation. I went and asked Carly. You saw Ashley and Carly testifying, and she was talking about vacuuming and a check fell out. I asked them what that was about, and actually they had two houses. And the second house that they had was rented by people that were getting government assistance. And the government paid them for housing these people. So they had a check from the government. And in England, this was in England when they did this, they slipped the mail through a slit in the door. And somehow or another, it had slipped down and fallen behind the baseboard on this thing. So when she was vacuuming and this check came out, that wasn't a check of theirs. It was a check from the government, 3 months worth of rental payment that, just like the Lord told her, their check, their money was there in the house. And they just began to give me story after story after story. And I tell you, God will do a financial miracle for you. But one of the points that I'm trying to get across is that you need to see yourself as a steward. It's not your money. It's God's money. He's the one that's given things to you. And you need to adopt this attitude as, God, everything I've got is yours. What do you want me to do with it? And there are very clear instructions in the Word of God about how you are supposed to steward His money. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. This is Paul speaking, and he said, for who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? I changed some of the old English dust and all of this to use and things, but he's saying everything you have, you received. And if you received it, then why are you glorying or boasting as if you haven't received it, as if somehow or another you caused this to happen? Paul is saying that, you know what, you aren't recognizing God as your source. And you're boasting as if you are doing these things on your own. But everything that you have and everything that you are came as a gift. You know, I have spent, I couldn't tell you, but tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of hours studying the Word and praying, and I've done all of these things. But it would be absolutely wrong for me to adopt this attitude. So therefore, I'm a self-made man. I made this ministry work. I have done these things. Yes, there's been a lot of things that I've done. But you know what? It's the grace of God that He called me. I was talking to somebody just the other day, you know, and there were three kids in my family. My older sister, my older brother, I'm the baby. Why is it that God chose me instead of one of them? I didn't do anything. I didn't deserve this. My brother has a genius IQ, higher IQ than Einstein. You know, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Why is it that God called me? Why has God done these things for me? Everything I've got, yes, I've studied, yes, I've stood, and yes, I've resisted the devil, and yes, I've done things, but you know what? I look at my entire life. It's such a blessing that God chose me to preach the gospel. I am so blessed that God chose me to go on television. I recognize that everything I have, God gave it to me. And I am not going to adopt this attitude that, well, look what I have done. Man, it's God. Any good thing that has ever happened in my life, it was God that did it. And I may have cooperated and allowed Him to do it, but I didn't cause it. It's God. See, I have this attitude. Most people say, yes, that's true, as long as you're talking about like your vocation or something that God has done. But when it comes to money, well, no, this is my money. You need to recognize, just like this, you don't have a thing that God didn't give you. God gave you the health, the talents, the opportunities. If you would be honest and go look back, there are some of you that you were in financial problems. You prayed, God blessed you, and God began to prosper you. There are some of you that you were in a crisis situation, you couldn't make anything work, and you prayed, and God gave you a job, and yet you've forgotten that. And now here you are thinking, this is my money, and I'll do with it what I want to, and I've got to take care of myself first. And even though God says that I give, and I tithe, and I give offerings, but that's not what I want to do. Here's what I want. I want my fifth flat screen TV. I want the newest gadget. And those things are more important to you than following God's leadership. You know what? You've forgotten that God is the one that gave you everything you've got. God is the one that caused you to prosper. And I'm telling you, this is what gets you in trouble. If you would listen to God, God wouldn't lead you to go into debt and pay for things two and three times what the actual price is because you just can't wait 6 months. You got to have it right now, and so you're going to go in debt, and you're going to violate the instructions of the Word of God, and you're going to do all of these things. You need to get an attitude that, you know what, God, this is your money. What do you want me to do? What does your Word instruct me to do? And if you would follow His leadership, He would lead you differently than many of you are living. There are some of you that you've got a lot of money coming in, but you got so much money going out. You are living right to the limit of everything that you've got. And the reason you're in this financial bind, the reason that a recession, just a little dip in finances, just devastates people is because they didn't have any savings. They didn't follow the instructions of the Word about how that we are supposed to set money aside and prepare. There's many instructions. It talks about, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider how an ant gathers up all of this food and prepares for bad weather and stuff. There's so many instructions in the Word of God that people just fail to follow, and because of it, then they have a little downturn in something, and I guarantee you they're living so close to the edge that it's just financial disaster. They wind up losing their home. They wind up losing their car. They wind up losing their marriage because of the stress that it's put on. And it's because we haven't followed the leadership that's in the Word of God. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're listening. I know I can't see you, but I can just tell that there's a lot of people that, well, this is not the way that everybody else is doing it. But look at everybody else. Look at these people who were supposedly financial gurus and had all of this money, and yet all of a sudden they have a recession and every bit of their money is tied up. They lose so much money and they wind up committing suicide and terrible things are happening. Are those the people you want to pattern your life after? I'm telling you, the Word of God teaches you how to manage money. But before I can teach what the Word of God has to say about money, you need to adopt this attitude that you are a steward. It's not your money. Everything you have, you don't have a single thing that God didn't give you. God is the source of every blessing. He's the one that gave you the opportunity. He's the one that answered the prayers, opened up the doors. And now we take all of these prosperity, all of the opportunity, all of the assets that God has given us, and we're just misusing it and making ourselves, it says the borrower is servant to the lender. We're making ourselves slaves to all of the things that God told us not to. We put ourselves into financial jeopardy. And then when the world system hiccups, people just, it destroys people's lives because we haven't been following God's system. God will supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has a heavenly economy, a heavenly way of doing things. And if you truly want to prosper so that, like it says over in the book of Proverbs, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it. When God makes you rich, when God blesses you, there isn't any sorrow. You don't stay up at night unable to sleep because of worry and stress, wondering about what's going to happen with the stock market, what's going to happen with your investments. When God is your source, there will be no sorrow added with it. It's implying that there is a way to prosper that is outside of God, and it does have sorrow with it and travail, and it'll cost you your soul. It says over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that those who desire to be rich pierce themselves through with many sorrows and hurtful lusts that drown man in perdition. You need to recognize there is a godly way to prosper and there is an ungodly way to prosper. And most of the way that the financial world is going about trying to prosper is ungodly. It is contrary to God's system. And for the Christian, we need to stop. We need to quit following the example of the world. We need to say, Father, everything I've got and my potential that I have to produce wealth, it was given to me by You. Deuteronomy 8:18, You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you power to get wealth, that He might establish His covenant which you swear unto your fathers. God is the one who gives us power. He doesn't give us wealth directly. He gives us power, an anointing, favor, an ability to prosper. It comes from God. Everything that you have and all of the potential that you have comes from God. And so use God's system to manage it. Don't follow the leadership of this world. Don't have the attitude towards finances that this world does that is causing people to commit suicide and just be grief-stricken and stressed out to the max. Have to have a pill to wake them up and a pill to put them to sleep. There's a better way. There's a way to prosper and it just becomes effortless, that the blessing of God just comes upon your life. But it all starts with you recognizing it's not yours. It's God. It's God who gives you power to get wealth. You are a steward. Boy, if you would accept that. Everything else I teach is going to make great sense. It'll change your life. But nothing will work as long as you sit there and think, I have the right to pick and choose what I'm going to obey from the Word of God. It's mine. And I'll do this if I think it's to my advantage. No, you need to recognize you are working for another person. It's not yours. You're a steward. I'm out of time today. Today's going to be my last day to teach on this first teaching in this series entitled, What is a Steward? So please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, What is a Steward? Free of charge.
Let me remind you that today is my last day to offer the first teaching in this six-part set. The entire set, the album, is entitled Financial Stewardship. There are six teachings in that. We will continue to teach through that album. But the very first teaching in this series is entitled, What is a Steward? Today is my last day to make this individual teaching available. And we make this available as a free gift to you. We say that the album is available for a gift of any amount, and yet there's some people who would not or could not send anything for the album. So what I do is make each individual teaching available one at a time, free of charge. Today is my last day to do that, so please call or write today.
You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma this week for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th. In Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th, and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta Church, Sunday, May 8th. He'll also be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for a Better Way to Worship Conference, June 15th through the 17th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Andrew and Jamie Womack would like to invite you to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder. Foundation builders are a special group of ministry partners that contribute financially, providing a firm foundation for building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers and making disciples who will carry the almost too good to be true news of God's love and grace around the world. Phase one has been funded and completed, and phase two is now gearing up. Discover how you can help change lives by logging on to www.awmi.net/partnership. Change your life. Change the world. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.